What's up, DC? Welcome back to another edition of Locked On Wizards. It's a Monday and we have a special episode today. It's going to be focused on Denny Avdia. We have a special guest, Iran Soroka. He covers the NBA for Sport 5. You can catch him on his podcast, Osim NBA. Justin Kutcher was just on recently, so you'd have to check that out. Obviously, Denny just suffered a pretty serious injury. Thankfully, no ligament damage or anything like that will keep him out for long, but we'll touch on that a little later. Iran, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast. How's it going?
I'm great, Ben. Thank you for having me. I'm loving hearing the Locked On Wizards podcast and hearing your takes about the Wizards and Denny.
Of course. Well, thanks for coming on. I want to start from the beginning because when we started covering Denny, it looked like he wasn't going to be a Wizard. I had heard that the Chicago Bulls were very interested in taking him. Obviously, they decided to go with Patrick Williams, which was a bit of a surprise there. His stock had grown considerably before the draft. So you had covered Denny for a very long time, obviously out in Israel, and you covered the NBA for a long time as well. How did you think the fit with Washington would have been before he got drafted? And when he did get drafted, what was your initial reaction as to how he would have fit in D.C.?
Actually, I'm a big believer in Murphy Law. And the first time that I covered like the possibilities of handing Denny, I just like had a very thorough list of the picks 1 through 8. And then in the Wizards, and number 9, I just figured out he won't be there. But then on draft night, when we heard that the Warriors are going with Wiseman and the Patrick Williams suddenly rose atop the rankings, I just told Jova, the head the honcho of the NBA in the sports channel. We had like a pre-draft studio, and I told him, I have a strong feeling that he's going to go to a place that we didn't talk about. And then when it became clear that he's going to the Wizard, it was like mixed feelings because we knew that the Wizards needed, like, they didn't have a lot of competition relatively. It's not like he wanted to go and back up LeBron or Giannis or just like try to get five minutes here, 7 minutes there. It became pretty clear from the beginning that he will have some runway, but, and it's a big but, because of John Wall then and Bradley Beal and then Russ Westbrook and Bradley Beal, it was clear that his role on offense wasn't going to be very large, at least at the beginning. So we had to temper people's expectations because in Israel, we try to be like manic depressia, and everybody was sure that he's going to conquer the NBA. But then like we saw the games and we saw the vibe, and it was also very, you know, very condensed, off-season. And he just had to go there and suddenly be thirsted in, and Westbrook didn't play. So actually, we didn't knew a lot what to expect. We just knew that we were loving Denny and we expect him to do great because he's a kind of a big time player. We saw him performing on Maccabi Tel Aviv in the Israeli playoffs, in the early games before the corona halted the season. And of course, that in the under 19 national teams in Israel that he led to the first ever European Championship. So we knew that he's going to get the opportunities and to seize them. And we just had to see how it's going.
So before Denny ended up in DC, Tommy Shepard, basically all the NBA scouts were very high on Denny's playmaking ability, his ability to read the game, his energy, as you said, his competitiveness, that the fact that he played at such a high level pre-NBA. The Wizards loved those skills. How did you think that was going to mesh with, you mentioned the Russell, initially a John Wall, but a Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. And obviously, you know, forward flash a few months, the fact that his season is over. How have you seen his skill sets kind of mesh in Washington? Because there have been some criticisms about how Scott Brooks and the team has operated with his skill set.
You know, the situation when you get a really cool gadget, maybe even a Swiss Army knife, but you use only one of two of the options, like only you use it to peel oranges. And then one time you tried a hidden tool, a hidden feature, and then you wonder, wow, it's amazing. Why don't I use it more? So Denny and playmaking. We saw it like doing it when one of the biggest like highlights I've ever seen an Israeli player. I saw it like personally. I went to the Israeli game against Ukraine and he went to help and blocked a Ukrainian player at the rim, then gathered the ball and instantly sent a full court pass to Yamada, was drafted by the Celtics, for a layup, and said, okay, I was just standing up in my seat and holy shit, what I did here? What happened here? So we knew that the playmaking is going to be good. But then in Washington, I'm pretty sure that you won't get a lot of touches in a team with Russ and Bill. But from there to being ranked 80th out of 88 rookies this season in usage rate, that's a long way. And too many times he felt displaced, detached, even like numb. And the best version of Danny is when Danny is highly involved or even like partially involved. He doesn't need to be the primary ball handler, especially not in the NBA when like the pressure is other. But Brook's offense, which, and I may be understated, doesn't include a lot of sophisticated ball and off-ball movement, was very bad fit for his skill set in this regard, because he was treated as a stationary shooter, which was wrong on two fronts. First of all, he's not a great shooter yet, although he worked on the shooting and he was like on 45% after a month or two. And then when he doesn't touch the ball for long strides, he gets cold. And this was very bad for him. I think that when all is said and done, when you look at the Wizards' top 10 plays this season, and there's a high chance that both Danny's alley-oop pass to Russ against the Pistons and Danny's alley-oop pass to Thomas Bryant against the T-Wolves will be there. And that's pretty impressive for a guy who gets like 1.2 assists per game at his rookie season.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, because the times where Denny has played with the most confidence are the times where he's had the ball in his hands, even if it's not initiating offense per se, but just off hands off and being able to just sort of create for himself. Pick and rolls with Thomas Bryant early in the season, we were able to see flashes of his court vision. But I think that's a perfect segue, because we see Washington Wizards fans lament about how Denny's been used in Washington and even question about, you know, how his future in DC will unfold. But I want to touch on Israeli feedback and how fans, you know, in his motherland have approached his first season. But before we do that, I want to let you know that Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboards. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. And that's only valid through June 30th, so act fast. Built Bar is the healthiest and tastiest protein bar on the market. There's caramel brownie, cookies and cream, whatever flavor you'd like. Not only is it delicious, it's nutritious. You can't go wrong. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. This year on the Locked On Podcast Network, we're partnering with the Draft Network to cover the NFL Draft live. Get insight and analysis from Locked On local experts and the Draft Network's national experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL YouTube page to watch a live 3-day coverage of the NFL Draft April 29th through May 1st. Aaron, I want to touch on that. There's been a lot of Wizards fans, myself included, having covered the team, just kind of frustrated about, like you said, the Swiss Army knife, jack of all trades, just being kind of slotted in the corner as a spot up shooter. Wizards fans have complained about it. What do Israeli fans, when they see that, how do they feel, I guess?
Actually, one time I saw you, I think, like ranting about this, and I felt that, okay, this is not only us, because in Israel, we tend to, you know, see everything in tunnel vision. What's good for Danny? What's good for us? What's good for Israeli fans that love him? And, like Israeli fans are quite emotional sometimes. They even like changed the Wikipedia pages of Washington in Hebrew and the Rui Hachimura when he didn't pass to Danny to like add some curses and bad words about him, about the team. It was very funny, but not funny for the Israeli people that like didn't like to see him getting so little opportunity and so little he wasn't a part of the offense for too long of the year, and but he is a national darling here, and I think that the fact that he stayed positive and he stayed the course is part of what makes him special. Because I remember when Washington drafted Danny, I like texted some people, some Washington Wizard bloggers, maybe even you, and I told them, you're going to love Danny, you're going to love this kid. And I think you understood why, because this guy is like have a positive vibe wherever he goes. And in Israel, even like the Israeli equivalent of Saturday Night Live, Eretz Nehederet, like ran multiple skits about him not getting the ball and like praying, please pass me the ball, and nobody passing the ball. So I missed in the same court as LeBron James, and there's a chance to pass me the ball as my teammates. And despite all that, and they laughed on his father, Zufa, who is like a very tough, like physical education teacher. And even that, he like stayed positive, and he even like participated in their Independence Day special. And people just love him because he is what he is. And you saw it like us. And then like I was interviewed in the Israeli sports talk shows like 2-3 times a week, and saying what's going to happen, and like, getting down in Brooks for not utilizing him, and like in on times they really got almost exasperated. Like there was a game that he was getting into foul trouble in the first half, and then Bonga came out in the second half. I was sure that he's going to be the first DNP CD of his career, like in the game after. It was a game against Memphis then, but he played great against Memphis, and also his ability to bounce back is also some kind of his character that makes him special. And the most sore thing is that he got injured on a high note. Like he wasn't on his best, like shooting wise, but he was getting for the first time he was getting like the 30 minutes per game, and the Wizards were winning, because the previous winning streak was without Danny as a part, as a huge part. And then the injury came, and like I was interviewed by 3 radio stations, and then I'm just meeting the street people. There are 2 kinds of people, actually. One kind is saying like, what a bummer, poor Danny. And the other one is saying, what a bummer, poor Danny, because they didn't follow his death closely to it, even know his name, but they just loved him from seeing him, from following him like on the papers. So people were very emotional, and we took it like very personally when he didn't get the ball, and we hated Westbrook, we hated Bill. But then I think that over the last weeks before he got injured, it was starting to come together, and that makes it even more frustrating. Oh, by the way, another angle is that Omri Kaspi had like a 10-year career in the NBA, and he never played in the playoff. He was once getting the ring from the Golden State Warriors after he was getting injured, and when he played with the Houston Rockets against the Portland Trailblazers, but Kevin McHale never got it off the bench in 6 games. Every game was tight, and he left him and Donatas Mochiunas on the bench. So we said, maybe for the first time we'll have an Israeli in the playoffs. Nah, not this year also.
Yeah, it's a really unfortunate thing. You mentioned his last game, how he was starting to play well and starting to find his rhythm. It was one of the first times, I think, in a recent memory where he got a rebound, pushed it, and finished a layup, from what I remember. And I was like, yeah, there's Danny. He's grabbing the rebound and going. One of his skill sets that the Wizards have failed to utilize all season long. But I wanted to piggyback on what you just said. That last game, he was being aggressive. And just to play some devil's advocate here, people who cover the Wizards will say, and maybe even some within the organization will say, you know, Danny plays 25-30 minutes a game lately, and he's putting up sometimes 0 points or 2 points or 5 points. And how do you respond to those people who are saying, sure, the Wizards aren't utilizing him as well as they may ought to utilize him, but he's also not taking advantage of the minutes that he's been given?
That's a great point. And it's maybe a kind of a chicken and egg, because when you don't get the ball, you don't you let it come down to like, I don't trust myself, maybe, when I'm getting the ball, when I'm getting the opportunity. I won't cut even to the basket because I won't get the ball anyway. So why should I cut? I will just like concentrate on defense. And on defense, by the way, I think he had really great strides, like defending LeBron and Luka and Damian Lillard and Joel Embiid. That's like one of the league's top point guards and one of the league's top centers. And even actually, I checked his rebound rate because Russell Westbrook is known to not let anybody take their defensive rebound. His defensive rebound rate this year was more than 20. And I checked like Russ last 5 years in Oklahoma City, and do you know how many people like had a higher than 20 defensive rebound rate? Three. Kevin Durant, Kendrick Perkins, and Enes Kanter. That's it. So I think that in some ways he just let it affect him. And it's like, even when we're talking about Danny staying positive, you can't like being immune to everything. And when you know that the coach doesn't trust you, maybe it affects your confidence. And he is a rookie. He is a rookie that never played a minute of summer league. He is a rookie that all his like preparation like was like 3 or 4 weeks instead of 3 or 4 months. So I think that all of this like got into him a bit and like put him down and like affecting this thing. And also the reason in the beginning, actually, I thought that like when the Wizards will take him off the bench as a secondary playmaker, when Russ is getting rest, he will be better. But then they took him from the bench and let Raul Neto or Ish Smith run the offense. So then he didn't get the minutes and he didn't get the balls. So it wasn't a great stretch from him. Also, the fact that he wasn't shooting well, I think that had a part of it, because when you're not shooting well, it also affects your confidence. And you said he stayed aggressive, but most of the time, I think this is like, there are a lot of great rookies this year, even some undrafted like Facundo Campazzo or Jae'Sean Tate, but a lot of rookies had very, very rough stretches, very long rough stretches. You look at Anthony Edwards that opened the season very badly. James Wiseman had a lot of ups and downs. Like I think besides LaMelo Ball and Tyrese Halliburton, every rookie had like a 15 to 20 games stretch in which he lost confidence. And that maybe it wouldn't happen with a regular preparation. He paid the price in a way for this condensed offseason.
Yeah, I also don't think it would have happened if he was allowed to play the style of basketball that he was drafted to play. I think, you know, he's scoring off, you know, 0 points, 5 points, 10 points. The inconsistencies are prevalent when he's asked to be a spot-up shooter. When if you talk to the Wizards pre-draft and they said, you know, if Denny Avdija is available, we'll take him, they wouldn't have said they'd draft him for his spot-up shooting ability. That's not why you draft a player like Denny Avdija. He's a 6'9 point forward. He's obviously an imperfect player, but at most 19, 20-year-old players are. It would have been nice if he had more opportunity, like you said, to play playmake a little bit more off the bench, if Scott Brooks was a bit more flexible with his lineup as opposed to going with these traditional sort of archaic ideas with how guard play should be handled with Ish Smith and Hal Neto. But unfortunately, I think that's just not going to be the way the Wizards operate, so long as Scott Brooks is a coach at least. But I want to talk more about Denny's future in a second here. But before we do that, I want to let you know that Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA and the NHL are in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. It's real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best place to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. It's Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert. The Ultimate Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey is happening now, featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Jason LaCorda, and Brian Baldinger, our local experts for every team making trades and picking the next stars for their team. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter. That's Odyssey. All right, Aaron, let's dig a little deeper here. I've heard some frustrations about the Wizards player development, the fact that rarely has a player who the Wizards drafted stuck around. You look at Troy Brown Jr., how his time in DC ended, Kelly Oubre, Otto Porter, just to name a few. The only players in recent memory that they've drafted and really panned out have been John Wall and Bradley Beal, and those guys were picked top three. So with Denny Avdia, why should Wizards fans, or maybe why shouldn't they be hopeful that Denny's career in DC won't end up like a Kelly Oubre or Troy Brown, but more so like a Bradley Beal or a John Wall?
I think that there is some hope in the way that the previous regime is over. And Tommy Shepard is looking like on the surface, a guy that came from another, like, you know, mixing up disciplines and taking people from different places, from Barcelona and from like other sports, and trying to mesh up things. And I think that a ray of hope comes from another recent Washington Wizards draft pick, Rui Hachimura, which had made a big progress, I think, from the first tier to the second one. Like defensively, we were walking Washington's defense over the last like 5-4 weeks of the season, but then they started to play like some kind of decent defense. And it was a lot of because of Danny, because Danny, I think, like when he was injured, he was third in the team in net rating, and he had like one of the better defensive ratings on the team. But also Hachimura started to play better on ball defense, and also like Westbrook was playing Westbrookian defense with, you can't lock somebody down, like, you know, a Patrick Beverley or a prime Rajon Rondo type, but you can play with enthusiasm. So then using the centers and the big thing. So I think that we have some people in Washington that the front office just looks better. And the Hachimura thing actually gives me hope that Denny's career will pan out better. And also Brown was a guy from the previous regime. So now like a clean slate of the Shepard era, and Hachimura is good. And Avdija, we saw that there is a potential to be good. And like what happens from here there, it depends a lot of Danny. It depends a lot also of the opportunities that he will get. And I do believe that people were very down on Scott Brooks, but I can't really blame him, because we knew that this is Scott Brooks. And we knew once the Wizards started the season horrendously and then just tried to come back, and then the corona like halted all activities for 2 weeks, and then they started losing again. So Brooks, a coach that was chosen by the previous regime on the last year of the contract, is coaching for his job. And on the surface, it's hard to trust a 20 years old kid who didn't even play a summer league game to run your offense. And Brooks resorted to his known commodities and veterans. Like 71% of the team's assists were passed by four guards, with an average age of 30. But I think that when you saw how much diverse, unpredictable, even more fun the offense was when Danny got the ball to create, you can only ask yourself why he didn't get more chances. But right now, the Wizards are winning. They look fantastic. They're like favorites, other favorites to be like the 10th place on the East, maybe even the 9th. And the Pacers are looking like very roughed up now. So maybe the Wizards can get to the last playing game. And, you know, I don't know if Brooks will stay. What do you think?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that question. I mean, I think given this team's history, the owner's sort of hesitancy to make significant changes in the control sort of group of the team. He's held on to Ernie Grunfeld for, you know, 10 or so years. Didn't hire externally. Went with the internal hire with Tommy Shepard. So, I mean, if Scott Brooks makes the playoffs, I think history says that he'll be back. So I think I'll toss that back to you. If Scott Brooks is back and it looks like they may make the playoffs, How do you think that affects Denny? Are you hopeful that this isn't just going to be a repeat of his rookie year where he's just slotted as a spot up shooter? Or do you have faith that Denny can develop that area of his game and will gain more trust from Scott Brooks to use some of those other tools in the Swiss Army knife?
My main hope is from the fact that even Denny is going to miss the full 12 weeks. So there wasn't like published dates for the summer league, but I believe it will be like around, you know, August 1, August 2, August like 5. And by then Denny should be healthy. And if Denny is getting the keys, I don't know which the Wizards we're going to pick, because there's a big draft and I don't know which position they're going to address. Maybe, you know what, maybe they take another great wing, but maybe they move up to the third place and got, I don't know what, Kate Cunningham, and then like Denny can go and search for opportunities elsewhere. But even if, let's say that Denny is supposed to be the starting small forward for the team next season, so summer league is going to be, all eyes will be on him. And this will be the first time that he will really get the keys to the offense to run at least to be the secondary playmaker. And then being able to demonstrate your abilities in a stress-free environment will be huge for him. And then I believe that he will cherish this opportunity. And again, I don't know if Beal will stay, if Westbrook will stay. Let's go to the for the very best case scenario that the Wizards are making the playoff or even making the last playing game, and Brooks is staying and Beal is staying and Westbrook is staying. I believe that there will be like more trust between Brooks and Danny, more trust between Russ and Danny, more trust between Beal and Danny, and he won't be like the rookie with the, you know, pink bag that you need to send. Okay, like second year is now we're getting serious. Now you don't have the rookie discount on the other hand, but we will trust you more. He is, after all, a lottery pick. He is, after all, a very talented player. We saw the glimpses. We saw him beating the Lakers with this three-pointer. We saw him stopping Damian Lee. He did things in his rookie season that justify the Wizards picking him. You know, they could really go with Haliburton, maybe. I don't know, Emmanuel Quickly. I don't know if Tyrese Haliburton or Emmanuel Quickly would pan out like backing up Russ and Beal. I don't think so. So, like, looking like Danny, even in retrospect, was the best pick that the Wizards could have. So they won't have like any like buyer's remorse on this one. You see, like Obi Toppin and the Knicks, Jalen Smith and the Suns, they're not playing like scarcely. So Danny has some kind of runway to develop his skills over the summer league, over the summer, the regular summer without vaccinated and stuff. And then I believe that the second season will be a better one. I won't go as far as Brooks was saying, like to compare him to Giannis or to Dirk Nowitzki, but I believe that the second season he can start like trying to see the 10 points per game threshold from above, like maybe aim for 11 plays. And I can't stress enough how much he needs to get his shooting right. He started the season great, and I told people he is tricky. It will come down eventually. But then, like, you know, if from all ranges, he needs to improve the shooting. You can't hit 31% of your open shots and continue to get the coach's trust in this league. I think it's partly a matter of being detached for such long stretches of the game, but still you have to be better than that. And over the summer, we trained like with his agent in the, I don't remember this place, when Jace Harder is practicing, Trey Young is practicing in Atlanta, the P3 maybe. Maybe he gets there back, but maybe he gets back there. Maybe it was the fact that he played like all the rookies didn't play, but Danny like played in July and in August, and he had like some time to shore up the shooting. He got to get his shooting percentage up to 43% from the field, 34-35% from three, and then his whole outlook would be better. As long as he shoots like the 30% from three, 40% from the field, 64% from the line, this is not going to cut it. And this is the main concern for me with him.
Yeah, I'm actually a little less concerned about his shooting because his form looks really good. Like it's not a Lonzo Ball sort of situation when he was drafted and his shot looked absolutely broken and it needs to be reformed. His shot actually looks really good. And like you mentioned, the first month and a half or so of the season, he was shooting probably roughly 40% from three. It looked like he was going to be a solid three-point shooter. And I think it is a part of the, like you said, he's detached from the game where he doesn't touch it for a large stretch of the game. And then he'll get an open shot and he'll miss it. And then he'll lose trust and so on and so forth. It's kind of just a snowball effect for Danny, but you did give reasons to be optimistic. And I think there's a lot to be determined with how the Wizards go about their coaching staff. If Scott Brooks returns and if Bradley Beal sticks around, so on and so forth. But with Danny Avdia, I'm not terribly concerned about him. I think there are aspects to his game that are somewhat eyebrow raising. The fact that he doesn't really go left, I think, is concerning in the NBA. You need to be able to finish with both hands. Yes. His lack of confidence is the fact that he gets rattled from time to time. He's 19 years old, of course, but we saw a player in Jan Vesely not that long ago who not even a fraction of as skilled as Danny, but someone who struggled with his confidence early on and whose NBA career ended pretty quickly as a result. And that was partially because of the Wizards, you know, as I call it, basketball malpractice and their failure to develop him. But Denny does have a way to go, but I think there are reasons to be optimistic, Aaron. Let's end it on this note. Denny's out 14 weeks. What should we expect once he does return? And I guess going forward in DC, do you expect DC to be a home for him going forward? Or are you going to be on the Locked On Pelicans podcast next year talking about him?
I believe that the Pelicans, they need somebody to throw alley-oops to Zion once Lonzo is out. And I know somebody who throws alley-oop passes to. I'm kidding. I just hope, I don't know, Denny needs to be in a winning environment. And when he was drafted, I said, this is a good situation with him on the fact that this will be a winning environment and he will play. Not a winning environment, but they will compete for the playoff spot or playing spot, and he will play. Because most of the teams that picked before, either they're not going to let him play or they're not going to compete with the playoff. And in the Wizards, he had like this rare situation, so you can't like want everything, so we didn't get the ball enough. But I believe that the Wizards, from the impression we have in Israel, maybe you're hearing other things. The Wizards love him. Shepherds love him. Brooks maybe have some tough love from him, but he loves him. He loves his work ethic because Brooks is an old school guy that appreciates work ethic, and Denny has a crazy work ethic, man. He just work his tails off. So I think that in that regard he will fit, and I don't know, I think it's like if the Wizards club franchise is going in the right way, Denny will be a part of it. If it all falls down again and like Bill is traded and Brooks is fired and nobody is, and Westbrook wants to get out, and also when they're going to full tank, so maybe Denny isn't going to want to be a part of this. But it looks like being around these all-stars, and I was mentioning because people were very down on Westbrook's effect, but I told them, look at Westbrook, he has a lot of things not going for him, but people are just being affected by his work ethic, by his crazy preparation for the games. And if Denny will rub off some of this one, it will make him even better. And I'm mentioning Victor Oladipo, who just his career took off after being next to Westbrook. So I believe that Denny can have the same effect. And as long as the Wizards want to be good and are making the right steps to be good, Denny should be a part of it.
Yeah, there's no question. I love Denny's youthful energy. The fact that he just loves the game. He reminds me of like people I grew up with who just anything basketball related, they just want to eat it up. They want to absorb it. And truthfully, I mean, I've been around NBA players and covered NBA players where that wasn't the case. I mean, there have been countless Washington Wizards who you question, like, man, if you weren't 6'9", 6'10", and grew up playing basketball, you'd probably be doing something else. And Denny's not that player. I mean, if he wasn't as talented as he was, I could imagine Denny playing on a playground in Israel just because that's the sort of love that he has for basketball. And I think that's a part of the recipe for having an amazing talent. And Denny has it. So I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic if you're a Washington Wizards fan. And Denny's a huge part of that optimism. So, Aaron, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate your insider knowledge on Denny Avdia and all things NBA, of course. You can check out his analysis further on Sport 5 in Israel and Osim NBA's podcast. Aaron, do you want to say anything else to the audience before we let you go?
Go DC. We wish you will make the playoff and that you will stay Denny's home for the foreseeable future and you will utilize him better. So I don't know, like then I don't think that they're going to broadcast any Wizard games in Israel right now because Denny's not playing, but it looks like they have some things going, and I just hope for them to unleash the real Denny moving forward. And thank you for having me, Dan. It was a pleasure. A great pleasure.
Thanks for coming on. Take care.
Okay. Thank you.